Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, titled, Dead in Trespasses and Sins. This is part 2 of 2.
Because they know they're never going to see you again. You die without Jesus Christ, you'll grieve for eternity. You'll never see them again. That's it. But you better picture yourself the way God pictures you in the Word of God, that you are a dead man walking according to the course of this world.
Dead man walking.
I couldn't figure out which one I wanted to play, so I played them both. But it's a complete misrepresentation of the text to claim that being dead in sin is the same as cessation of all spiritual life. Get that real good in your head, because in the future, if the Lord tarries, there are going to be people kind of claw at you and try to do that misunderstanding. It'll happen. The Bible says in Romans 5:6, watch this, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you before you were saved.
Amen.
That's not someone in a coffin. I mean, think about this. How silly would it be to look at a physically dead person in a casket and say, looks a little weak. What's wrong with the brother here? He's a little peaked. He's dead. Physically speaking, you're not going to look at a dead, physically dead person and say, they look a little weak. Actually, what people do, which I think is crazy, they walk up and say, never looked any better in their life. I'm thinking, what an insult. Wait till you're dead before you look your best. Personally, I thought they looked better when they were about 18 years old. Amen?
Amen.
Let's be honest. People are just trying to be nice. So I'm not going to rebuke people at the, you know, someone says that, I just kind of, it's one of those things. You know, people say, God must have been lonely, so he took him to heaven. I'm like, those poor kids, man. They're like, God's going to kill me if he gets lonely? You ever been a kid? Someone die and you hear that? I'm like, that scared me to death. I was glad to hear some of the older people dying. Maybe that'd keep God from getting lonely. The Bible says that when you die, or when you're dead in sins, before you're saved, you're without strength, see? It's not what the Calvinists and others teach, that you're cessation of life in a spiritual coffin and totally without any sign of life. That's not what the Bible says. Again, you're without strength. Why? Because you cannot be saved by your own works. Your work... You're not laying in a coffin. You're walking according to the course of this world, and you're working, you're trying to... You know, there's a lot of people who give to charity, you know. They're wicked, nasty people, and they'll give to charity because it just makes them feel a little less wicked.
Yeah.
Ain't going to do them no good.
Amen.
Not going to do them any good. Why? Those are works, but they're without any power or strength to change anything.
Dead man walking.
That's the last time, I promise. Our dead condition was, watch this, in our walk. See? Your dead condition isn't that you're not doing anything, you're just laying there. You know, it's in your very walk, your existence. You have a form of life. See? There are a lot of religious people who are dead. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, join the ecumenical movement with and work together. Amen? No, from such, turn away. We walked with the fallen world and not with God. And it might be, I'm not saying it's not ever a time where Christians don't do that, but God will deal with you. It ought not be. Christians should not walk with the fallen world instead of God. Boy, we are in the age of Laodicea, though. And that's what too many are doing. Walking with the world and thinking that those of you who walk with the Lord and not the world are too radical. You're just too crazy. And I've heard that my whole, off and on, my whole life. I'm not saying I always was, but I just have told the stories. When I first got saved, I just thought all Christians were going to be like this. Love the Lord. Want to talk about the Lord, want to read the Bible, want to have Bible study, want to tell people about Jesus, want to hand out tracts, love being at church. That took me about 2 weeks to realize that's not the typical Christian. And I had someone look at me and say, well, that'll wear off after a while. Yeah. I'm not bragging, but it ain't wearing off. Because every time I start to see it wearing, I rebuke myself. Amen. Get up.
Yep.
Quit sulking about that thing. Amen. Stop acting so silly. I'm not talking to you. I'm saying this is what I say to myself.
Amen.
Don't make me say it. You say it to yourself.
Amen.
And that's what the Bible itself does. That's why a lot of people don't like to read it. They pick it up and they're like, ooh. Too hot to handle. Like a hot potato. I've got to put this thing down. Yes. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged by others.
Amen.
That's the whole point of the Word of God. And it says, where in time past ye walked according to the course. Past tense, see? As a Christian, you shouldn't be walking according to the course of this world. Calvinism requires regeneration in order for the gospel to work. See, they teach this false idea of what being dead in trespasses and sins is. Therefore, they have to come up with a fairy tale to deal with what they've already created. Heresy begets heresy. Say it with me. Heresy begets heresy. You think you're going to take a heresy light? Yeah, you'll take it light, but eventually it'll lead to another one and another one and another one. You know what else do that to you? This is free of charge. Pharmaceuticals. You take one thing, and then you got to take another because of what that thing caused, and then you got to take another because of what those two things caused, and the next thing you know, they're going, clear! You know? That's what's happening to people. Look it up on the internet, how many people are dying because of the interaction of their drugs they're taking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not saying you never take a drug. I'm saying it's very similar. Very similar. Heresy begets heresy. This is from one of the most well-known Calvinists, R.C. Sproul. In his book, Chosen by God. So I just want you to know I'm not making this up. Quote, a cardinal point of Reformed theology, which is Calvinism, is the maxim, regeneration, watch this, regeneration precedes faith. That's what they teach. Our nature is so corrupt, the power of sin so great, that unless God does a supernatural work in our souls, we will never choose Christ. I want you to look at that real close. That's a standard Calvinist statement, and what it says is this. They have no faith in the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah.
They believe that before you can believe the gospel, God has to regenerate you so that you can believe the gospel.
Wow.
What the Bible says is, God comes up on you, and you're this corrupt sinner. You're wicked, and the power of sin on you is so great that there's only one way for you to be saved. But it's not God to regenerate you against your own knowledge or will so that you will this or that. No, the Bible says this. You take every one of us. You may not think of yourself this way, but this is the truth. You're wicked.
Amen.
You're a child of wrath. You belong to the prince and the power of the air. And there's one and only one thing that can break that power, and that's the gospel.
Amen.
And when someone walks up on you, and see, a lot of people don't preach the gospel. The gospel says that Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
And you walk up on a sinner and you say, the Bible says how that Christ died for your sins. According to the Scripture, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Will you recognize that you Don't look at anybody else. You caused Jesus to be nailed to the cross because of your sins. And as soon as they start him hauling around, they can't be saved. They can't. Not until they'll turn and look at you and say, I admit it. I understand that. I'm a sinner. And Jesus died because of my sin. And then after they buried him, he rose from the dead, demonstrating. See, it was a demonstration. Jesus is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. I'm going to demonstrate to the world that I, Jesus of Nazareth, am God manifest in the flesh. Amen. I have demonstrated it by turning the water into wine. I have demonstrated it by telling Lazarus when he's 4 days decayed, get up, Lazarus. And he got up. I have demonstrated over and over, and I'm going to seal it with my own death, and then I'm going to raise my own body from the grave. You tear down this temple 3 days later, I will raise it up again. And he's saying to the world, I am God. Amen. And if you'll put your trust in me, you will never perish. Amen. You put your trust in anything else, you're done. Yeah. Amen. I don't need this Calvinistic garbage, see? I don't need something to come along and regenerate you before you can believe, because my gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. And if you'll just simply believe it, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Amen. We don't need the isms, amen?
Amen.
Too many isms.
Whosoever.
Amen.
Amen.
Once you buy this lie of this regeneration before, you will lose all logical reason for preaching the gospel to the lost. If you want to know why the Southern Baptist Convention has become largely a useless entity, I'm former Southern Baptist, talking about my own here. The Southern Baptist Convention has become a pathetic waste of millions of dollars a year because they have bought into this foundation movement, this Calvinistic lie, and they don't even think there's any reason to really any need to preach the gospel other than their own self-legitimacy. They preach enough that they feel legitimized. But it's not out of a love for the lost. And it's not out of an understanding that that gospel is the power of God. See, when I go out and preach, oh yeah, they'll spit, they'll blaspheme, they'll even run their car up on the sidewalk and try to run you over. I don't care. Bring it. I'm saved. Amen. As a matter of fact, make it a good one. Get it over with so I don't linger in pain. Amen? But I love you enough to hack you off so bad you'll come and try to run over me by telling you you're a sinner on your way to hell and you need to believe the gospel.
Amen.
I love you enough to tell you that.
Amen.
But if I was a Calvinist, you wouldn't catch me out there. I mean, I'm not stupid. If Calvinism's true, the elect are going to get saved one way or another. I don't have to put my neck on the line. And that's why you don't see Calvinists on the street corners.
Yeah.
You don't see Calvinists going door to door. You don't see Calvinists out there just begging people to look at the sun, read the gospel, repent, and believe the gospel. You don't see Calvinists do that.
Yeah.
And if you buy Calvinism, you'll follow them and end up on the shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Now, you say, well, you're hammering on Calvinism awfully. It's because this is where Calvinists pervert the Bible and lead people astray.
Yeah.
Calvinism disables the gospel. Think of that. You say, well, the gospel's so powerful, you can't disable. Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
The Bible says that through your traditions, you make the Word of God of none effect.
Amen.
And they disable the gospel and require that irresistible grace. But biblical Christianity requires only the gospel.
Amen.
Ooh, I like Christianity.
Amen.
Keep your Calvinism, I'll stick with the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
These are our marching orders. This is what Paul said in Acts 26:18. It was to open their eyes. It doesn't say going around looking for the elect. You're to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. See, they're not in a casket, they're under the power of Satan. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was the marching orders Jesus gave to Paul, which come to us through Paul.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
It's awesome. Mark that in your Bible and meditate on it.
Amen.
And how do we do that? How do we open their eyes? How do we turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God? Through the gospel.
Amen.
You say, you said that already. Yeah, but I'm trying to get it through your head. It's not other things. It's the gospel. Christians are like, oh, if we, let's just play some rock and roll music and we'll bring the youngins in and get them saved. Amen? That's what they're doing in churches all over the country. You go in Sunday morning and there's some guy there going, I have another. I'm not making that up. That's you can hear it. Turn it on Radio U. Turn on Radio U. And if you go to the right church on Sunday morning, that's their quote unquote praise and worship. It sounds like he's dying and being choked to death and someone's ramming the microphone down his throat. You say, that's crazy. Hey, you end up in something just as loony if you decide that the gospel isn't strong enough, if the gospel isn't powerful enough. You'll go down some other road. You go to some churches where this morning they probably have clowns and they've got a dunking machine, and mothers are given the chance to throw the ball and make the clown drop in the water, however many times you get five balls, and if you get all five of them, you get a bigger prize. That's what you're going to find in churches.
Let's go to a fair.
But why are they doing that? It's because they've lost their faith in the power of the gospel. You say, well, there's not a lot of people getting saved today. That's beside the point. I don't care if you are the Noah generation. You're going to preach to a lot of people and they're going to slam the door in your face.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're not going to want to hear it. But you believe the Word of God and you walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
Amen.
You start walking in the flesh, then you start getting discouraged when you get doors slammed in your face and they take the tract and water it up and throw it at you and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But if you walk in the Spirit, you're like, did you see that? Yes, He did. Amen. Amen. So I had a guy blaspheme, spit on the track, water it up and throw it at me. I was like, I know you got that. Yep, I got that. It went on record.
Amen.
And if that guy don't get saved, he's going to stand before a great white throne and the Lord's going to say, see that guy back there way in the back up in the corner? I'll be up there going. Remember that day? He was going to remember.
Oh, yeah.
You had your chance that day.
Yeah.
I'm sure the guy will have plenty of other ones, but there'll be one where I'm going to say, yep, I'm a witness.
Yeah.
I was there. The power of God. I quoted it. Let's read it together. Romans 1:16. Read that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you believe that? Then don't try to reach people with any other tactic or technique other than you giving them the gospel.
Amen.
Let the gospel do its work.
Amen.
But have a little more faith, people. Some of you, I don't know which ones, but I just have a sense about it that in a crowd this size, some of you may have given up. Some of you may say, well, no, I've given out 1,000 chick tracks. No one's got saved. Keep doing it because you're not. A lot of those people may have got saved and you just don't know it.
Amen.
But a lot of what we do is seed planting, seed planting, seed planting. And at some point when they get saved, God saw it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You let God keep the records. Amen?
Amen.
You let God keep track.
Right.
You just be faithful.
Yes.
You either believe the gospel or you walk according to the course of this world. That's what it says. That's really it. Where in time past ye walked, past tense, according to the course of this world. This world walks in rejection of the Bible as God's Word.
Yeah.
Very real question, what about you? Do you fully trust in the King James Bible as God's infallible Word?
Amen.
Well, no, I trust in the NIV. Well, you're trusting in garbage.
Yeah.
And I'll sit down with you and show you that if you need to know that.
Amen.
There's one book in English, Right there. You say, what book is in Spanish? What book's in Chinese? I don't know. I don't read those languages. But there's one book in English.
Amen.
I'll hook you up with some missionaries who can talk to you about Mandarin or whatever you're worried about. But we're English.
Amen.
At least I think everyone here speaks English.
Amen.
Get you a King James Bible. And if you will fully trust in the King James Bible as the Word of God, fully trust, that's life changing.
Amen.
Amen. This world walks in rejection of biblical morality and righteousness.
Yeah.
What about you? Any of you here who think that if Pastor Greg drops dead next week, you can go find you a queer and make him your pastor?
No.
A lot of people do. Do you fully repent of your love for sin? Oh, I never loved sin. You're a liar.
Yeah.
You love sin.
Yeah.
You repent of turning to God with faith in His... repent of your sin, turning to God with faith in His Word. That's the bottom line. You love your sin. Jesus said they walk in darkness. They choose darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Yes, yeah.
And if you're here today and you just gave me an excuse for that question I just asked, you got... to get right with God.
Amen.
Because you can't be right with God and be dishonest.
Yeah.
Don't lie to God. He knows you're lying. Amen?
Amen.
Just come clean. Just be honest with Him. This world walks in rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about you? I pray everybody here believes that gospel. Do you fully trust in the shed blood of Jesus for salvation and in the power of His resurrection?
Amen.
Are you allowing that to really change who you are? Allowing that to really become a part of who you are? If you call yourself a Christian, you should not walk according to the course of this world.
Amen.
You should find yourself out of step with the course of this world.
Amen.
It's a good test. So let's close by simply reading the text with the understanding that we got this morning. Just read those two verses, beginning in verse 1. Read it with me. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, we're halfway through the message. No, I'm kidding. We're going to pick up there with the prince of the power of the air in the next message.
Amen.
But before you start dealing with the devil, you got to deal with yourself.
Right.
And that's what the message was all about today.
Amen.
Deal with yourself. Get your attitude, your opinions in line with the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the incredible power of just two verses, not even two full verses.
Amen.
And we just thank You for the incredible power of the gospel and how that one day that gospel became clear to me and I received the truth of the gospel and was born again. And I pray everybody in this room had that moment in their lives when the gospel was presented and they received it as the Word of God, trusting fully in the finished work of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, and were saved. We pray for those who are hearing this live or hearing it on the internet or on the radio, wherever it is they're listening right now. Convict every lost person listening, Lord. And may the gospel save them. It's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. hold for just a moment. I just want to say this before we sing this last verse, that there is power in the blood.
Amen.
Amen.
Preach it.
Amen.
Preach it. Pray for God to give you an opportunity.
Amen.
Pray for God to give. Sometimes it's just going to be an opportunity to give them a little track.
Amen.
Other times you just might have time for a word. You know, might say something to try to spark their thoughts toward the Lord. And listen, don't be too hard on yourself. Just go with the idea that you want to please the Lord.
Amen.
That's it. I just want to please the Lord. There might be a time where you get ready to say something and you get interrupted. You just have to believe that if God wanted you to get to that person, you would.
Amen.
But the main thing is just to have a heart. That's what I'm talking about right now. Having a heart for the lost. And you want to know when, and I've failed this most of my Christian life. I'm just confessing to you right now. My biggest failure is to have the heart for the lost that I have.
Yeah. Amen.
What I mean by that, I mean that not praying for the lost like I ought to.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all in the same boat here, folks.
Amen.
We're all in the same boat.
Amen.
And there's times where sometimes we just need to think about that and say, make a conscious decision. You're going to pray for the lost more than you have, more fervently and faithfully than you have. And you know what happens is when you do that, you'll find yourself with a greater burden to share the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen.
And amen.
So let's sing this last verse with a real attitude to fulfill what it says. It's asking you a question. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? Would you live daily His praises to sing? Folks, you want to sing His praises, don't sing the song on the radio. Preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's you singing His praises every time you tell people He died for them. He shed His blood. He's paid the price. He won the victory. You're praising Jesus when you tell people that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that last verse.
Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you be daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Sing it out.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Say, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. All right, let's
for solid here. King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.